This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Happy commute home, everybody. Happy drive time. 5 o'clock hour here on the WEEI Afternoons. You got the ex-presidents coming at you today, and Nick Fitzy-Stevens, Dan, big game baller, and of course, the Lion's Den himself, the pride of Brockton, John Lyons, here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. Hit on a little bit of everything today, boys. Some Celtics, All-Star Games, Four Nations Tournament, Patriots, whole lot of Red Sox as well. And, of course, it is President's Day as well, and I think everybody is probably clutching their steering wheels right now at 10-2 in great anticipation of us getting to our favorite American presidents later on during this hour as well. Plus, I heard during Odds and Ends, in addition to a couple of tidbits, nuggets, and rando stories that I wanted to share with the audience before we wrap up. John, do you have a domestic dispute? Is there something going on with your driveway?
Holy smokes, man. I got up at 4:45 a.m. clearing ice off my driveway for like 5 hours before I came in. It was brutal.
It's a whole 5-hour ice clear? What are you, an airplane mechanic?
It's a whole story.
And you're still not done, right?
Not quite.
We'll save it. We'll save it.
Yeah, not quite.
All right.
Yeah, come on. Listen, you don't want to give away everything. Don't do the show before the show, Dan. lucky for us, here at WEEI, we have some fantastic hockey writers, reporters, podcasters, and broadcasters, one of which does play-by-play for hockey in addition to covering the Boston Bruins and all things ice hockey at the TD Garden. She's a member of the Sunday Skate as well as the fantastic Skate Pod. The one and the only Bridget Prue joins us live now from the TD Garden in between Four Nations Tournament games. And Bridget, I heard you earlier on the midday show with a little preview of what was to come for Canada-Finland. Spoiler alert, Canada kind of did their job. And now we got a couple hours off until the game that doesn't mean anything except for, I don't know, I guess just sort of playing things out in USA-Sweden. What have the vibes been like at the Garden today coming off of Saturday night's contentious Canada-USA throwdown?
I'm going to say weird. That's my best word for the vibes that have been here so far, because I mean it was almost an anticlimactic game. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because Canada comes out in the first 13 minutes and they're already winning 3-0, and then Finland makes it close at the end, which was kind of a little bit of a shock. We were already downstairs waiting to interview players, so it was a weird game. The crowd wasn't that loud, but it will be completely different for U.S. Canada.
Bridget, Nick just went through your resume covering college hockey, professional hockey, everything like that. So I'm sure you had expectations for the Four Nations face-off when you heard about the news and then the rosters were announced and things like that. So what has this tournament been in reality compared to what your expectation was beforehand?
Saturday was incredible. Saturday was a game that I don't think I've ever had more FOMO that I wasn't there. And I love Montreal, and I can't believe I missed a game that started with three fights in the first 13 seconds, or actually I think it was 9 seconds. So that if that doesn't happen on Thursday, I'll be a little disappointed. I think everyone will be. But I kind of get the sense that, I mean, I don't think we're gonna have three fights in the first 9 seconds, but I think we'll see the same level of intensity, because I got the sense from the Canadian locker room that they would like some revenge, including Brad Marchand.
Of course.
Bridget, I want to follow up off that, because U.S. beat Canada 3-1 Saturday night. Thursday night coming up, do you expect the game to go in a similar fashion? Is there anything Canada, in your eyes, can do to adjust and try to change the outcome? Or is it just a matter of a few bounces here and there could go differently and change the outcome?
Well, yeah, the bounces for sure. But in terms of, like, tangibly what they could change, they didn't have the solid finish that they really needed. And I didn't think they had a solid finish today in today's game either. I didn't think they looked clean. I didn't think Binnington looked good. And, you know, obviously goaltending is going to need to be better, but the intensity level seemed to be favoring the U.S. in that game, which was a little bit surprising seeing as it was in Canada. I mean, they could come out and play completely different. I mean, on paper, they're the better team. But the Tkachuks and a few of the other American guys said that doesn't matter to us. And they definitely outplayed them in that Saturday game. So I don't know. I honestly don't know what to expect.
Bridget, did you expect, and we're talking to Bridget Prue from Skate Pod Sunday Skate and WEI.com here, little check-in from the Garden and Four Nations Tourney Talk. Did you expect Saturday's game to matter as much, and did you expect for that game to make the stir, not only in the NHL and the hockey world, but also all-star games and just basically the sports landscape at large? Because we were posturing earlier that Thursday night is pretty much going to be like the epicenter of the American or North American sports landscape.
Yeah, we haven't had a gold medal game in hockey with the actual, you know, NHL athletes in so long that's really what it's going to be like. That's what we're expecting. And I think that if it's not that intensity of a USA gold medal game against Canada, I'd be pretty surprised. I think it's going to be the best hockey game I've ever been at. I'm really hoping it doesn't disappoint, but that's kind of the sense that we all have here, is it could be one of the best games we've ever seen.
Bridget, any takeaways from the play of Charlie McAvoy to this point in the tournament? He's a guy that brings a lot of conversation about with Bruins fans here locally, but has he responded well to playing against some of the world's very best?
Yeah, he has. I mean, he had a great game on Saturday. He was, honestly, if he can hit like that, and, you know, when he's back with the Bruins, that would make a lot of fans happy. He's been, I think he's been playing at a level that he hasn't played at this season since he came in this tournament. That being said, he's not supposed to play tonight. He did not practice today. So, and neither did Matt Tkachuk. He's also not supposed to play tonight. So those are two guys that if you're tuning in, you won't see, but hopefully they're back for Thursday.
So Bridget, you said that Saturday night was the biggest FOMO of your life. The Four Nations has been great so far. I mean, is this something you expect this to be here long term? I know we have the Olympics coming up as well, but do you expect the Four Nations, at least in some form, to be part of this hockey season rotation going forward?
Yeah, it won't be the Four Nations like specifically. It will probably include more teams. I think that's one of the main differences. Next time we'll have the Hockey World Cup, which is going to be on a 2-year rotation with the Olympics. So it'll include more than four teams. I think everybody enjoys it more than an all-star game. I think that's been the main consensus. And because it came at the same time as the NBA all-star game, it kind of made that look down. It made that feel underwhelming. So maybe it actually pushes other sports to try something different, where, you know, put something together that guys feel like it matters, because it matters when they put on their team's jerseys, their country's jerseys. And I'm excited that we're getting more international hockey back finally, and the Olympics are next year, so
it's a big deal as well. We'll wrap with this. It's a little two-parter here. One, Bridget, I don't know about you, but As much as I love when the Bruins do well, because I always say, even though I am the resident Foxborough fanboy at WEEI, I still say there's no better fans in the Boston sports landscape than the Bruins. No more fun a place to party than before a Bruins playoff game on the Causeway. Those bars are incredible. The people are generous. The spirit's so high. But just think, Thursday night, you're going to have people from all over the country, let alone tons of Bruins fans who somehow found their way into these tickets that are now going for six times face value, and it's only going to increase. You're going to have Bruins fans showing up at the Garden to root for Matt Tkachuk and root against Brad Marchand, which is just insane to me. It is just insane. And on that notion, speaking of the emotional pretzels, have you seen anybody with any, like, anti-Canada gear or any random USA chants breaking out, like any stuff like that going on at the Garden?
Actually, no. So I think it's because Canada game was so expensive that mostly Canadians bought those tickets and Americans stayed away from it, and they all spent their money on the second game here. So we haven't heard that yet. I haven't seen anti-Canada gear. But the one thing that I did see that was really odd to me was a lot of people in the pro shop coming out with USA Matt Tkachuk jerseys. In Boston, that is probably like the hottest selling jersey right now, which I was a little bit surprised by.
Wow. What Yikes. A world. These are wild times, boys. I don't think I'm overselling how big Thursday night's going to be. I really don't. I mean, I think it's going to be a thing. Well, Bridge, thanks so much for checking in with us. You've done awesome work over there today. Guys, give her a follow on the X at Bridget, BRIDGETTEPROULX. And Johnny Lyons, she says that she loves going up to Montreal. You need to become really good friends with Bridget, because sometimes when she goes up there, she stops at Hill Farmstead or The Alchemist and says, "Hey, Fitzy, do you want me to grab you a 4-pack from each of those places?" She, when I say she's the best, I mean she's the best.
So I guess there is one positive about going to Montreal. We found that. Okay. Good to know, Fitzy. Thank you.
Bridget, great talking to you. Have a great week, and we look forward to everything you got later on coming towards the conclusion of Four Nations.
All right. Thanks, Fitzy. We'll keep in touch.
Okay, keep in touch, Bridget. That was Bridget Prue joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Did you think you guys would live long enough for people to be teaming into the Bruins store, which is now a Team USA store for the Four Nations, buying USA Matt Tkachuk jerseys in Boston?
No, much like John Lyons' driveway, hell is frozen over, apparently.
Yes, and you figure like they could at least buy McAvoy jerseys. Like he's on the Bruins.
Raymond, come on now.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, in a weird way, it's cool. I don't know. I don't even know how to feel about that.
I know.
I don't love it.
But the national effort, people are willing to look past the fact that most folks would want to lean out their car window and flick a butt and lob a large dunks at Matthew Tkachuk if they got a chance. And now they're going to be cheering for him. To set aside local and regional differences for the sake of national pride, I don't know. I think that's kind of awesome. I mean, the hell with him, but at the same time, it's kind of,
just not kind a Tkachuk.
It's so
not
wild.
A Tkachuk. There are so many names that you could get. I'd be like, oh, that's a really cool jersey. That I'm like, but why? And when are you going to wear that again is my question to you.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe it's a wall hanger. I don't know.
Wow, these are wild times. Oh, it's going to be a hell of a scene out there this week, you guys. All right, 617-779-7937 is your telephone number here for WEEI Afternoons. And to get in touch with any of our fantastic programs. Right now, let's get you caught up on everything else trending in the wide world of sports. And when we come back, it's President's Day. It's second half of the Bruins and Celtics season time. Almost there. But first, let's talk some sports with Dan Ball.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Four Nations face-off shifted to TD Garden in Boston today. Canada has hung on to defeat Finland 5-3, guaranteeing them a spot in the Four Nations final against the United States on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Tonight at 8, meanwhile, the undefeated United States takes on Sweden. Sweden is 0-2, but both games have been decided in overtime. Matthew Tkachuk is out tonight for the U.S., but is expected to play in the finals on Thursday. Meanwhile, Bruins and Team USA defenseman Charlie McAvoy is currently currently dealing with an upper body injury, and his status for the game tonight and the championship game still very much up in the air as the week continues in the Four Nations Cup. Steph Curry scored 12 points in Team OG's 41-25 NBA All-Star victory on Sunday in the first of 40 finale against the Global Stars to win the league's new round-robin tournament. Jason Tatum finished as the night's highest scorer, both in the championship game and for the entire tournament. He logged 21 points while shooting 9 of 11 from the field. Jaylen Brown added a total of 12 points on 6 of 9 shooting, 2 rebounds, and 1 steal. Mass Live Sean McAdam and Underdog's Jared Carrabas have both reported that the Red Sox have checked in with the San Diego Padres on the availability of starting pitcher Dylan Cease. Cease finished 4th in Cy Young voting last season and is a free agent after 2025. Also, the Sox have signed outfielder Trace Thompson to a minor league deal with an invite to big league spring training. He was last in the big leagues in 2023, and he's notably Clay Thompson's brother. And finally, the Jaguars have settled on 5 finalists for their vacant general manager position and will begin in-person interviews on Wednesday. 4 of the candidates are external, coming from the 49ers, the Rams, the Bears, and the Packers, respectively. I'm Dan Ball. This was Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
The other part of this that I think got a little bit lost in the mix is Devers, you know, ended the season last year on the IL with shoulder soreness and didn't really have much of a chance to ramp up his program, his throwing program over the winter. So part of me wonders if he's even going to be ready for the start of the season. Cora talked today about him starting to throw sometime next week, but he's not going to be doing anything really in the field or swinging too heavily over the course of this week. So Devers talked a little bit about that and said that, he's a veteran player and he knows what it takes to get ready. But I think that's also something that sort of
lost in the mix with sort of the surprise of him being so adamant about not moving off third base.
Ah, to only be that island in the sun right now, or just to see any sun or feel any sunshine. Temps are in the 20s, and that's before the wind chill. I think I saw, guys, actually, that the maximum gusts around New England today got into the 60s. Like, did anyone walk out the door today? Like, it's Connecticut, Rhode Island. I saw the airports, upper 40s, 50s, 60s. Did you guys feel it this morning? And did
felt
you
it sound kind like of on 95 on the way in, too.
Oh,
kind
yeah.
Of windy on the highway. Yeah.
The car was starting to sway a little bit. Yeah. So, but yeah, definitely. I saw a video. I think it was from the top of Mount Washington too, where the wind gusts were getting up over 100 miles an hour. I hope I'm not misquoting that, but I saw it during one of the commercial breaks. It looked treacherous from the top of the. I guess it'd be a trail cam up there.
I guess I'm gonna go ahead and scratch off climbing to the apex of Mount Washington from my to-do list this week, Dan. So, thank you very much for that.
Sure.
No, I've always actually wanted to. I've never actually reached the summit of any mountain, but that sounds like something fun. Maybe just not this week as well. Yeah, I don't drive a heavy enough car that my car does not get up. Like, I don't need to. I just basically travel with the indicator on days like this because it's just I don't even switch lanes. The car just gets blown all over the highway as well. Though I do not have the John Lyons driveway dilemma that we'll get to momentarily as well, because that sounds like a pain in the ass of epic proportions. We rejoined. Speaking of pains in the arse, Jen McCaffrey did an awesome job earlier when she joined us from The Athletic talking Red Sox. I was a Raffy Deversby in the PITA du jour, or sort of, because he said he's not moving off third base and may now cause some problems for the Sox in spring training. I had no idea, just to the extent, did either of you chaps have any idea as to the extent of his offseason surgery, work, rehab, and the fact that like he's kind of not up to even throwing speed yet? I mean, the guy has a leg, maybe not two good ones to stand on regarding not moving off third base, given the contract, the money, his popularity, etc. And it's certainly not his defensive prowess that would keep him on third. But if he's not even up to throwing, he's got a cannon for an arm, but if he's not up to throwing speed yet, then that may introduce, John, another wrinkle to why you need to get Bregman over to third ASAP.
Yeah, that was interesting because we all remember him having that injury last year, and it affected him at the plate, especially it felt like in August. And then in September, of course, he eventually goes on the IL. And I kind of felt like, all right, that's a frustrating injury for last season, but by the time spring training rolls around, he'll be okay. And Jen's telling us that, hey, pump the brakes. He's not even throwing yet. You know, it's kind of touch and go on when exactly he's going to start throwing. And then, of course, once you even start throwing, from there, it's a process to ramp up to playing in games at third base. So, I mean, look, we still have, what, 6 weeks until opening day, so we have some time here. But I think it's notable that he's not even really at a point where he's throwing. I mean, when the Red Sox go out there for their first few spring training games, who are they going to have at third base? Like, I think it's a question worth asking. Like, if he's just physically not able to do it, it does change the conversation a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. That could throw a serious. I mean, there's now so many different variables, wrinkles, and permutations to this, Dan. That, you know, I have a feeling we thought the major storyline we'd be following would be, what is the Bregman effect on all these players? Gets the call from Pedroia to come, assuming the new leadership role on the team. All the good vibes. Jen McCaffrey told us that she could see him sort of like working with Campbell, already showing him the ropes, like all the good things he's doing. But now I think in just one press conference, the narrative has been rerouted, and now it's mostly going to be about what they do with this sort of developing Devers situation over the coming days.
Yeah, the conversation is, well, how is Raffy going to feel about X? Oh, Christian Campbell makes the roster, and he's probably going to play second base. What are we doing with Alex Bregman, and how does Raffy feel about that? Oh, he doesn't make the roster, so Raffy's going to start at third base. How does Raffy feel about this? It's that extra wrinkle that I really didn't want to have to think about, which is the feelings of the decisions that are being made, rather than, all right, a decision's been made. How do we make the best of the best in this situation in order to win baseball games? I really, really hate that the conversation had to go there. And the comment that we played coming back from Jen fuels the conversation that I think we've mentioned in parts throughout the day today, which is, why did these comments need to be made now? Why, after one long weekend and some positive momentum from your fan base and from your players, clearly in the locker room, everybody had big smiles on their faces. Why, after such a short amount of time and knowing that you may not be healthy to begin with, do you all of a sudden feel the need to put your flag in the ground and say this? Is this solely, Fitzy, is it an ego thing? Is it just I need to get myself out there and say this because I feel like I'm losing a grasp on this situation?
Yeah, it could be. This also could just be a maturity issue. Like this could just be the way Devers handles himself. You know, he may feel challenged. Yeah, he may feel cornered. Maybe he's upset about this. Maybe these are pent-up feelings that he's been sitting on all offseason because it didn't sound like he was completely blindsided by the Alex Bregman signing. I mean, it did kind of creep up on all of us as we thought there was no chance in Hades that the Sox were going to sign him, and rather it was going to be Arenado or nothing. So we were surprised. I can't imagine that he was that blindsided by the move, but that kind of response today, like, actually, you know, we opened the show talking about it. We heard about it about 1 o'clock on the midday show is when the first bits of information from the Jen McCaffreys, the Bradfoes, and the Chris Cotillos started making their way across social media. The longer I sit with this and the more we discuss it, guys, the worse it's actually sitting with me. Like earlier today, John, I was willing to just sort of like, you know, it's a little selfish, but we'll work our way through it. And now I'm thinking, you know what, guy, read the room. Like there's like, everyone is like really happy 5 weeks out before you start this season, in which expectations have increased significantly in a short amount of time, and everyone wants to be excited about the team. And now you've made this team centric joy, John, kind of all about you. Like that kind of sucks.
Yeah, and it's just the type of comment, right? Like you can call it delusional, you can call it selfish. I already have in this program, but you can call it those things. And then it's also just detrimental to the baseball team too, because look, they could end up opening day Bregman's at second, Devers is at third anyway, or they could end up opening day where they want Bregman at third. But now no matter what they do, we're probably, and not just us three specifically, but all Red Sox fans are going to talk about it kind of in that light. Like let's say Christian Campbell's not ready and they want to start him at AAA and Bregman starts the year at second. There's still going to be people that are like, oh, are you just doing that to appease Devers? Whether it's true or not, you know there's going to be plenty of fans that are curious about that or believe that. And if you start Bregman at third base, Campbell at second, Devers is the DH, you already know, he's told us, that Devers, your best hitter, highest paid player, is going to be unhappy. So I think that's the other piece of it, too. It's not just, hey, these comments are bad today. It just adds a level of frustration and detriment to the team now, 3 weeks from now, and 2 months from now, when they're in the early part of their season.
Yes, and I apologize for misspeaking earlier. There was no particular surgery, rather, for Rafi Devers, but rehabilitation over shoulder, knee, and a whole host of other ailments. So obviously,
sounds like a guy that shouldn't be playing the field a whole lot there, Fitzy.
Yeah, like we look toward all the positives that could come from somebody like this, who's not a defensive wizard, who's never going to remind anybody of Scott Rolen or Nolan Arenado or even Scott Cooper, for God's sakes, at any time. Never at 100% health last year. Knees, shoulders, elbows, whatever, that he was playing through a host of injuries. Only made it through 138 games. Just batted .272 with 28 home runs and 83 RBI. Now, we all believe that he's capable. We've seen him do better. We've seen him be capable of more. And the team was linked to Arenado and Bregman all offseason long. It's disappointing to hear it become all about one individual when we're thinking about what it would mean for the entirety of the team to embrace Bregman and the excitement behind that right now. So we'll see how that goes. Developing situation. Thy name is Devers. And, of course, you can listen to WEEI all week long, and in the weeks to come, spring training games are just a couple days away. The Greg Hill Morning Show is going to be going down there at the end of the month, so you are not going to want to miss a moment of that. Now, boys, we are now on the break for both the NBA and the NHL, so I think it would be a perfectly appropriate time to take a quick look as to what our expectations might be for the second half of the season. But it's not even really a second half. Like, there's about a third of the season to go for both the Bruins and the Celtics. NBA trade deadline has passed. NHL trade deadline coming up. We keep hearing from the likes of Raycroft that, oh, once Lindholm comes back, you know, you get your defense healthy, the Bruins will be a much better team. No way they're going to trade Brad Marchand. They're going to re-sign him instead. It's going to be awesome. I don't know what to tell you, but I would love to get it from both of you guys right now. At the break, what do you guys think of the second half for both teams, and what are your expectations? Let's get a bold, saucy take. Let's go Bruins first. John, let's begin with you.
So I think they're going to do something they haven't done in a very long time. I can't remember the last time off the top of my head. I think they're going to sell pieces at the trade deadline. Mm. You look at where they're at right now. They're a couple points out of the first wild card spot. They're only 1 point out of that second wild card spot, but Ottawa has a game in hand. So does Columbus. Detroit has two games in hand against them. The Bruins with a negative 25 goal differential, by far the worst of any team kind of in that wild card mix. And as we know, when they lose, they get blown out. They don't just lose close games.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the way they went into the Four Nations break, if you will, that loss to the Rangers in a winnable game, the loss to Vegas when you're up 3-1, and then there's that goal disallow, and Vegas scores right after anyway at the end of the game. So it just,
what a gut punch.
Oh, brutal. It's too bad we can't get a coach like Bruce Cassidy here in Boston. But it feels to me like they're trending in a direction where maybe they can get that second wild card, but it just doesn't feel like they're a threat, even as much of a threat as they were a year ago in the playoffs when they got to the second round. So I don't think they're going to trade Marchand, but I could see like a Charlie Coyle type trade, some of those, a Trent Frederick type trade, some of those pieces potentially getting sold off between now and the trade deadline. Hate to say it, but feels that way.
Ball Hawk, what you got?
I don't trust the Bruins front office collectively as far as I can throw them, which is not far. So
not with your bad back.
No, not at all. With that in mind, I don't trust them to pick a definitive lane at the trade deadline, and I don't think they will. I think they're going to tinker, maybe add in one small fashion or subtract in another. And in the subtraction, I think would be a guy like Trent Frederick, who it seems like he's been on his way out the door before this. I see a smaller trade deadline, and I think they're going to miss the playoffs anyways, because the numbers, the math does not math, as John was alluding to. A lot of teams that are in front of and behind the Bruins in that wild card pursuit have games in hand, to where if they just take care of their business, it's going to make the picture a lot uglier than it is right now. What I would advocate for is exactly what John said. I think this is the year where you break it down. You trade the players that are either impending free agents or you don't think are a part of your young core moving forward. But I just don't trust them to be on the same page between Charlie Jacobs and the ownership, to Cam Neely, to Don Sweeney, to be able to do it and do it well. And I do not trust that this will be handled smoothly. And I think they will A, miss the playoffs, and B, not be able to recoup the kind of assets that they could.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you a bit more, Dan. I just don't see this team as worthy of significant reinvestment or borrowing from the future to pay for the now, when the now is so uncertain and so uneven as well. That Golden Knights loss was just an absolute emotional gut punch to get the goal pulled back and then only give up another one within the next minute. And that's just what the story of this team is. They take two steps forward, they take three steps back, they take three steps forward, they take two steps back. 25 games remaining. They have three in a row at home to start the second half or the final third of the season against the Ducks, the Maple Leafs, and the Islanders, respectively. You win all three of those games in a row, maybe they do make a slightly bigger trade than expected, Dan. Lose two out of those three, I think they're selling off larger parts. Maybe a scrape and a whisker that they can get by to that wild card spot. But I, too, think it'll be minimal moves and that they'll likely miss the postseason, which will be a bummer. So that's why I'm pointing towards Thursday as the biggest moment on the rest of the hockey calendar for you good Bruins fans out there. And as far as the Celtics, I'll start first. I think they hit that gear. I think they found it. I think Jason Tatum has now found that next altered beast mode. I think he has unlocked the next level. I think he's jumped on the gem. I think the Celtics are ready to absolutely crush in their final third of the season. I think they're going to pick up a load of steam such that when it gets to the playoffs, yeah, they're going to run into teams that are going to be at fuller capacity, that'll be at their own max speed, that'll be healthier than they faced last spring, and that's not going to be a problem because they've shown you in recent game that even when they're playing at 80 or 85% capacity, they're better than everyone else. And at 100%, I'm thinking these Celtics are going to just absolutely run and rifle through it. It's not going to be easy. Nothing worth something in this life is. But I think the Celtics run it back. I'm more confident today on President's Day than I have been all season long that the Celtics can win the East and get back to the championship.
Yeah, Fitzy, as you know, last year I hosted Celtics postgame shows throughout the NBA playoffs,
yeah,
which was awesome. And I think I'm going to be doing that all the way through June once again this year. And look, to me, it comes down to a few things. First of all, I know the Celtics had that kind of malaise, if you will, where they're a 500 team for about a month. Mm-hmm. But a big part of that was their true starting five. Tatum, Brown, White, Holiday, Porzingis had barely played together. As of January 1st, that five had only 85 total minutes together. I mean, it's two games, less than two games total together all year. Now, in the last 6 weeks, they're already up to 277 minutes together, 192 minutes together since January 1st, and we've seen them play much better. 8-2 in their last 10. They rolled into the All-Star break, and in the next month, guys, they're going to have home games against Cleveland, Denver, the Lakers, and OKC. So we're going to have some really entertaining basketball in the next month. I think it's a great way to ramp up into the playoffs. But, yeah, I agree with Fitzy. I think they're going to hit that next gear. I don't think they catch Cleveland 5.5 games behind, but I don't think they're that worried about catching Cleveland. I think they'll be fine once they get to the postseason, even if they have to play game one in Cleveland or the East Conference Finals. But, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty confident in them getting back to the NBA Finals and repeating as champions.
It's well put by you both. I don't have a ton else to add other than I think a couple things can be true with this season as a whole. I think it's fine to say that they may not live up to the sky-high expectations that fans had this year in the fact that you just won a championship. You made your way through the playoffs easily, and you pretty much brought the entire group back in terms of, you know, players of consequence this year. So I think it's fair to say that they've been disappointing at home, and they're not quite at that same dominant level that we all expected, while also saying that they get up when the games matter most, and the couple that they just had against the Knicks and against Cleveland are prime examples of that. They get up when it matters most. They're experienced, and it seems as though they're hitting their stride just at the right time and just got the break that they needed from the All-Star break. So I'm not concerned in the slightest. I think that there was a comment from Jaylen Brown after that Knicks game that told me everything I need to know about how the NBA still looks at the Celtics, which is we compare ourselves. I'm going to paraphrase it, but we compare ourselves to championship teams and we compare ourselves to the Celtics. And we, being the Knicks, aren't where we want to be yet. So as much as the conversation around the Celtics has been different this year versus last, I think there's no worry with them, and there's plenty of worry with other teams in the league that they are still very capable of winning a championship.
Yeah, optimism is starting to head to the rafters right now. Hopefully that's where they hang banner 19 a couple months from now for the Celtics. What do you guys think? Anyone driving home, listening, tuned in, on the radio, on the Odyssey app, any of our fantastic affiliates, if you got some final thoughts on what you see happening in the final third of the regular season for your Bruins or your Boston Celtics, you can catch us for just a couple more minutes here on the afternoon show on WEEI. And when we come back, Dan Ball, John Lyons, and your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens, we're going to give you our favorite American presidents. We'll give you a little fun local audio on odds and ends, and we're going to pay off the tease of the century. What the hell happened in Brockton to John Lyons' driveway earlier this morning? You're not going to want to miss it when we wrap up WEEI Afternoons.
We're right back to WEEI.
And now presenting the Gentlemen's of State, representing WEEI Afternoons, Dan Ball, hailing from the South Shore of Massachusetts, also of the Commonwealth, John Lyons, and of course, from the town where there used to be two presidents until those no-good POSs in Quincy stole them from Braintree, Nick Fitzy Stevens. I'm still never going to let Quincy live that down, by the way.
That's okay. That's all right.
They gerrymandered their way out of taking two presidents from my hometown.
You're damn right they did, and they're proud of it. We're proud of it, that is.
SOBs.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Anyway, guys, happy President's Day to one and all. Of course, it's a great day for people that get it off, part of the federal aid, of course. Great day to remember, look back on your presidential history. And it's also day three of the hellscape that is vacation week in February for all the moms and the dads. Holy smokes.
You're living that nightmare, aren't you there, Fitzy?
Oh, man. Listen, the dream doesn't live itself, John. Dan, it's really just it's something extra special. Yeah. Oh, I love it. And there's nothing like starting vacation week off than your kid pulling the latest random virus that's keeping kids out of schools and having to do a 10 p.m. urgent care visit to kick off vacation week over the weekend. Just
good Lord.
Yeah. It's, like I told you, it's a blessed life indeed. But everyone's doing just fine now. So
good.
Anyway,
good.
All right. So your favorite American president. This is usually it's like famous presidential lines. Who was your favorite fictional president? That's also kind of fun if you guys want to throw that in there. But let's whip around the room. And no, you can't say Millard Fillmore or Garfield.
There goes mine.
Damn it. John Lyons. Who is your favorite American president?
So I'm going to go with Harry Truman here. I'm a big Franklin Roosevelt guy, but I think Truman stepping in after his death, lead the nation through the end of World War II, also commissioned the first ever government civil rights study. I think he deserves a little hat tip for that as well. But also just a regular guy, was a farmer, worked his way up, became a county judge, then a senator, then vice president, then president. So following Franklin Roosevelt, no one can do that, but I think he did a pretty good job. So I'm a big FDR guy, but I'm actually going to go with Harry Truman as my favorite.
You know, neither Roosevelt is a bad answer by any stretch, considering the impact they had on this great nation as well. And yeah, those were some big shoes to fill right there. Some hella big footsteps taken by Franklin Delano Roosevelt as well. Truman is a solid choice, and he also did, quite honestly, have to make one of the biggest decisions, not just in American, but in global and human history as well. Takes some stones to do that as well. Anyone who saw the movie Oppenheimer knows that it's not one that he even seemed to wrestle with that much as well. So kudos on a solid choice, John. How about you, Dan?
Well, I've only lived to see a few. I was born right during the good part.
I didn't live to see Harry Truman.
Well,
you can
know.
Pick someone else.
There was a point to that.
What do you mean? That's old man Lyons' friend, Harry Truman.
Holy smokes, Dan.
I know he's an old soul ball, but for Christ's sake.
That was a lot more insulting than I meant it to be. I apologize.
Yeah, James Madison.
That one really got away from you, didn't it? What was Jamestown like, John Lyons?
Chili.
Okay. Yeah. So you weren't on the boat with Washington is what I'm led to believe?
No, okay. I did not cross the Delaware.
All right.
No.
I'm going to cheat. Mine are both the senior and the junior Bush, but they have to be played by Dana Carvey, and those are tied for my favorite presidents.
All right. How about that? Wasn't expecting that.
The junior the Bush stinks, too. He's a bad president.
That's why we trust Dana Carvey to say the right things, because we know he's not going to.
George Bush, most underrated president in American history.
So you have the most overrated and underrated presidents in father and son between Bush Sr.
Yeah,
and
I think that's a fair assessment.
That's a dynamic family right there.
The dad is the most underrated president in American history.
Wow.
I would just like to remind everybody that the final drive here, our little fun President Day odds and ends, is sponsored by our friends at Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also, they accept donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today at 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS with a K. And if it's a boat that you and John Lyons rode across the Delaware on, you could also donate that today. I'm going to go old school. Abe Lincoln is like the kind of de facto like go to, and I was going to say Thomas Jefferson because, you know, look what the guy did before he became president, and then he was a great 2-term president. His resume reads Democrat Republican. I know that's what everyone
used to
do.
Louisiana Purchase was cool too.
That was probably the bargain of the century. I'm kind of sure for $18 million
the Dodgers got Mookie Betts. I mean, yes, sorry.
Even for $18 million back when it was worth a little bit more than that, it was a hell of a purchase. But Abe Lincoln nudges him out, and it's a close one there. Just because, well, again, making significant choices and having great impact on the remainder of civilization, American history, and whatnot, like to shepherd this country through one of the most trying times in recorded history was pretty spectacular. And also the speeches, they were A-plus as well. So I'll go with old Honest Abe right there. Real quick, somebody's on the line and wants to say who they think is the best president. Oh, and they're calling from the, quote, city of presidents. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, 50? How you guys doing?
How are you, buddy? Thanks for calling in. Who's your favorite president?
Well, it's cliche, but George Washington is by far the greatest president, and let me explain why. First of all, he defeated the greatest army in the history of the world, and he also could have, he was offered the kingship like many times, and he said, no, that's not what we fought for. He stepped down after 8 years, which was, you know, that wasn't in the Constitution back then. There were no term limits. So it's by far George Washington. And let me just clarify you on Jefferson. Jefferson did not like his presidency. He actually hated it. It's not on his headstone anywhere. And Abraham wow. Lincoln was a little bit of a tyrant, to be honest with you. I got to say, like, but
suspended good, habeas good text, corpus. Yeah,
look true. Into it deeply. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a great call, Kevin. Nothing like having a nice little South Shore presidential historian calling in with some hot president takes at the tail end of the show. Okay. Well,
yeah,
you know what, everyone?
Presidents from Revere? Sorry, let's shut up now.
Do your due diligence. Do your reading tonight. My oldest boy just got a book on all the a deep history of all the presidents. I think I may have to actually jump in on that as well. John, real quick before we go, go ahead and real quick, what happened with the great driveway debacle of Brockton in 2025? What happened?
So I want to preface this that I'm not one of those idiot millennials that can't do anything around his house. I actually like doing work around my house.
I earned that one.
So I didn't say it was you, Dan. So yesterday I had to host the 2-6 show here. So I
excellent
cleared,
show.
Yeah, I cleared some of my driveway, but I had to leave to come in here. I got home. It was after dark. It was rainy. So I'm like, all right, I'll get up early. I'll try to clear the driveway then. I woke up at like 4:30 this morning to a 1-inch thick sheet of ice on my stairs, my walkway, my entire driveway. It was like 5.5 hours of work before I came in here to clear most of that. I still got more to go tomorrow. And I put rock salt down. It just wasn't enough. I tried everything. And it was, you know, it's because I had to come here and give the people good radio. I didn't have a chance to clear the whole driveway yesterday.
How long is your driveway?
It's like a U-shaped drive. So it's like, it's not like super long per se, but it's a decent amount of area because it's like a U-shaped driveway with a little bit off it. So, yeah. And not
brutal.
A lot of sun either.
Brutal.
Well, thank you for your sacrifice and thank you for your service. It's efforts like that that make this country as great as it is. The backbone, this country was built on the efforts of people like yourself down in Brockton, Johnny. So thank you very much. And also, may I say, at the real John Lyons, awesome job today jumping in on WEEI Afternoons, the Ball Hawk. Dan, you do an awesome job as always. What is your handle on the X, by the way, as I've only recently become co-workers and friends with?
Yeah, yes. At Dan Ball, B-A-H-L, said as it's spelled. Actually,
the
no,
Ball
it's
Hawk
not. That's exactly what it's not.
The two of us look just like Hart and Johnson.
There you go.
Same amount of muscle in our arms, too. Yeah, we look the same.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, the Creatine Society of Radio comes back into the studio tomorrow. TMH, WHGH will be back on WEEI.
You might want to stay remote tomorrow. But
great job behind the glass, David. Appreciate you. Thank you, all the texters. The ones who agreed, disagreed, provide perspective, and more, the good callers as well. Thank you, Bridget Proof, for calling in with an update on the Four Nations Tournament from the Garden. And, of course, from the Athletic Red Sox beat reporter, Jen McCaffrey called in the 4 o'clock hour with an excellent update on the Devers situation, Bregmania, and so much more. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens saying thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your President's Day. Have a warm, safe, and happy Monday night. Travel safe. And David, who do we have next on the WEEI evening slot?
It's just Infinity Sports.
Perfect. I love him. He does great radio. So enjoy.
That's our best president.
Hail to the chief of Infinity Sports. Coming up next here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM WEEI.